Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Romans 14, and we have a little bit of housekeeping just as a reminder that I am heading out for work for the rest of this week, and we'll wrap up Romans on Monday, Monday and Tuesday, I guess. So I hate to leave it with just two chapters left to go, but unfortunately I just can't get it done. So with that in mind, let's go to God in prayer before we start our reading. Holy Father, thank you for this day and for all that you've done. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving us. You are the greater, the greatest, the great one who's created all. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd guide this time. My heart, my mind are wandering, and I just need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Holy Spirit, to lead this time, as every day. I need you to lead this day. I pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that it be your words that we hear, that we would listen to you, Father, that we would listen to you as you guide us through our day. As we read, I pray for your wisdom and your insights. I pray they'd be yours and not mine, because I really don't have much. And Lord, I just pray and ask for you to truly be the voice we hear as we walk through this day, as we speak to our loved ones, as we go about our work. May you be the one that we focus on, that we hear and we follow your voice. I just ask, Lord, that today we would learn more about following you and doing your will, not just asking for your help. I pray that we would grow closer to you, love you with our whole being, and be able to love our neighbors ourselves. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So chapter 14 is all about unity within the church. So let's go ahead and jump on into chapter 14, verse 1. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. You see, I've done that. I've gone and argued on minutiae. And generally, it's just to make myself feel better, or demonstrate my brilliance. Which, if you've been following this for a while, you know that's a pretty weak argument and losing battle. But with that said, it's really about, you know, I think about the word quarreling. It's just, when you quarrel, you're not really edifying someone. You're not lifting them up. What you're really doing is you're just arguing. And it's not important. This is a disputable matter. It doesn't matter. No, there is no right or wrong. There is no evidence of how something can be. But you're making it such. I make it such. I do this. Verse 2. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. You see, I had family members who were Seventh-day Adventist, and they didn't eat a lot of stuff, and they were very restrictive, and I used to argue with them, and there was no point in it. I wasn't going to change them. I was just doing it to be a jerk, and that's not bringing any unity within our within the church. Verse 5. When one person considers one day more sacred than another, another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. So throughout this book, we've read about faith, in that salvation is through faith in Jesus. It's not through the law, it's through Jesus. So if we eat something, and our faith is that it's right, or we don't observe the Sabbath on Saturdays because our faith is that it's that Jesus has created the new covenant and it's not necessary because the law has been fulfilled in Jesus, then we really don't, then it's through faith. It's not the law. But if someone else believes that they have to do those things, and they still believe in Jesus, they just don't see it the same way, there's no need for me to argue with them. And I certainly shouldn't sit there and eat a steak in front of them if it's causing them distress, right? Just don't eat. And candidly, for me, I don't eat vegetables and fruit and stuff. So I'm a carnivore. Weird diet, I know. But so I just shouldn't eat in front of those folks. It's no big deal. But I used to argue with folks, my in-laws, about this all the time. But again, it's been faith that Paul has talked about. We're saved by faith. So it's our faith that we need to live for. It's Jesus, our faith in Jesus, that we live for, not whether or not we win an argument. So, anyways, with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for protecting us and for guiding us. I lift up this day to you, Lord. I just pray and ask for your hand to be upon us. I ask for your safety as I travel. But more importantly, I pray for our families, our loved ones. Pray you watch over them and keep them safe. Bless them with your peace. Holy Spirit, place your angels about them. Protect them and guide them. I ask this day that our hearts would be turned to you and focused on you, Lord. May we do your will and bring you honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.